In the past few days, RNIB issued a somewhat unconventional Valentine's letter to the Department for Work and Pensions, DWP, about personal independence payments, that's PIP, and urged them to stop breaking the hearts of blind and partially sighted people going through the PIP application process. It follows over 850 blind and partially sighted people contacting the RNIB about problems claiming PIP and Employment and Support Allowance as well, that's ESA. One of those people was Martin Corr, who's about to share his experience with us here on RNIB Connect Radio. Martin, thank you very much indeed for joining us. First of all, you're registered blind. Can I start by asking you to tell us about your eye condition, please?
I am what's known as aphakic, which, as far as I understand it, when I was very small, due to cataracts, they removed the lenses from inside my eye. So the lens behind the cornea was removed. Obviously, that then greatly reduces your level of vision and brings with it a whole set of new eye problems. I would probably, on my right eye, read the top line of a chart between 1 and 2 meters and can see a little bit of light to my left.
So you actually have some vision, as you're saying, not an awful lot, and you are registered blind.
I'm registered blind, and I'm a Braille user. I went through the blind school system, was taught in Braille.
You're married as well, Martin, with a wife and a teenage son, and you have a job as well.
Yes, I do. I've got a 13-year-old son. I've been married for almost 25 years, and I work as a probation officer for the National Probation Service.
Okay then, so we're going to concentrate mostly on your saga with PIP. Now, I believe this ongoing situation with PIP begins in October 2016. Take us back to that time, Martin, and just explain exactly what it was at the beginning, please.
Having been in receipt of DLA since its inception in the mid-90s, I received a letter in print, of course, from the DWP inviting me to apply for PIP, or effectively saying to me, if you don't apply for PIP, we'll stop your DLA. I dutifully made the phone call and requested the forms in an accessible format, to which I was told, actually, no, we don't do them in an accessible format. It will come out as a printed form and you'll just have to sort that out yourself. So the form then duly arrived. Between getting the initial letter and getting the form, I'd spoken to Royal National Institute for Blind People, who were kind enough to send me lots of information in accessible formats. They sent me stuff because my preferred format would be a Word document, because that would have allowed me to do bits of cutting and pasting as and where I needed to.
So that was RNIB actually getting involved in that. How did the actual application go?
It's very difficult. I do a lot of writing for work, and I do that generally on a word processor. And the difficulty that I find with, if you're asking effectively, in my case, my wife, to actually fill the form in for you, is that you don't have the opportunity to read back what you've written as you write and correct. If I'm writing a report for work, I will type it up on Word. I will then read through it. I will make corrections to it. And I will probably do that 3 or 4 times before I would say, actually, that's now good to go. Whereas if you're trying to do this through a third party, then it becomes more difficult. The other difficulty is that because I've always been visually impaired, I don't really see myself as having problems doing stuff. My wife might see me as having problems doing stuff in that I leave the kitchen in an absolute sight after I've been in. And the dog thinks all our Christmases have come at once. So it's a very difficult process to actually sort of try to think almost as a sighted person looking at this. I contacted both my consultant ophthalmologist, and I also contacted my local rehabilitation team and asked both parties to provide me with some supplementary information. I thought, well, you know, if I get a mobility officer saying, yes, this person uses a long cane, and a consultant saying this person's sort of down at 3 or 4% vision in their good eye, the job would be a good one, so to speak, and I could happily put this to bed, carry on in my life.
Okay, so that was that. You made the approaches, you got the responses you were looking for. What was the actual outcome as regards PIP then?
Made their decision on the 20th of December, but I didn't get to hear about it until about the 18th of January. So they basically refused me anything for the daily living component. So previously under the DLA system, I'd been on middle rate for daily living. So having got their decision back, I then spoke to RNIB again who advised me to go through the mandatory reconsideration process.
And how did it feel for you when you actually made that decision? Were you annoyed about it, or were you thinking what's got to be done?
I was gobsmacked. I think that's probably the bit. As to how they'd actually managed to get to that. And of course, invariably, what you think was actually it's because I haven't done a good job on the form. But then I sort of started to, as I sort of read the little bit of information they'd given me about how they made their decision, it was clear that they had a very low level of understanding of what the issues were. The lovely lady who came out to do my home assessment managed to draw all of her conclusions without me ever leaving the chair. That included sort of things like the level of my mobility and stuff like that there. So I felt aggrieved, but I assumed that mandatory reconsideration would sort this out, and that basically is them re-looking at their own decision. And I thought, well, that's going to sort it out, because somebody's going to realise that actually they've got this horribly wrong and they're not going to want it to pursue any further. So it then took till about April before I got to hear about that. It came back, that they were still effectively sticking their ground. So we then started down the road for tribunal, and that gave us access to their full dossier of documents. And then effectively that's where the fun started, because I then started to read, my wife then started to read the assessor on site's report and the DWP assessor's report. None of the language used by my wife and consequently by me is repeatable on RNAB Connect or any other broadcast medium. But we were just horrified at some of the stuff that was on there.
So I can understand that. So you're horrified with the actual report that you're reading. But as you say, RNIB was supporting you all the way, and you got to the appeal tribunal, and I understand there was a successful conclusion for you.
There was. The DWP didn't even send someone to the tribunal to represent themselves. It was fairly clear that the panel took effectively the same view as I did very quickly.
Can I ask you a separate point, Martin? Going through all this and, reaching a successful conclusion at the end of it, where you got the full allowance and the money that you were actually entitled to, how did it make you feel? How did it make your family feel as well? Was there a lot of stress involved? Did it affect your confidence?
There was an awful lot of stress involved there. Because this process effectively lasted for 12 months. We are more fortunate than many in that I do work, as does my wife. Whereas things were a lot tighter than they needed to be. We weren't starving. It was very, very stressful. I would shudder to think, and the more I looked at it, I would shudder to think how other people would cope with it. If I was really questioning, would wonder, is part of the process designed to filter people out? It's only the very stubborn that actually get through. In terms of how it made me feel, I think demeaning is the best way I can describe the process. I live my life primarily as a husband, parent. Somewhere down there, I am a visually impaired person, but it's not the be-all and end-all of my life. But it sort of made me almost focus on the negatives of that rather than the positive of all that I have achieved. Here I am trying to be independent, and you're spending your time telling the world that you want to enable people, and that's what you're effectively doing, is disabling by your processes.
I can understand that point of view, certainly. I mean, obviously, you're glad that RNIB were supporting you through the original appeal and, of course, at the tribunal as well. We know there's a lot of blind and partially sighted people out there probably going through much the same situation, and more are going to do it in 2018. What would your message be to them?
The message I'd probably give, particularly if you've been visually impaired for sort of either all your life or for a very long time, is focus on the difficulties that doing things creates for you, and look very, very critically at, are you always safe doing them? Are you always reliable at it? And how long does it take you to do it? Because those are the important things. If I was having to do another one, my completed form would be much more detailed and would be much more focused. Read each descriptor for each set, for each activity, and basically tell them how you do or do not fit that descriptor.
Well, RNIB is calling for the DWP to ensure the PIP assessment and decision-making processes are fair for blind and partially sighted people and taking into consideration their individual needs. The DWP have said they don't comment on individual cases, but claim the majority of claimants are happy with the system. And the helpline number for the RNIB is 0303 123 9999. Martin, we wish you all the very best for the future and many thanks for sharing your story with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
That's grand, Ian. Thank you very much.